Good morning, everyone. It's Friday. We made it through another week. We're on video today, so no more picking your nose. I guess that goes to me, because Mike's not on camera, so I got to make sure that yesterday was just a little vacation from being appropriate and a good adult and everything like that. So no more digging for gold today. So here we are. It's Friday. We're through another week. We had a little hiccup with the video yesterday. That was on my end. But we're here. We're back. We're live on camera. We're live on Sportscaster. We're live on Full Press Radio. And I got my co-host here on the other end of the mic. His name, you all know who it is.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's right. Mr. Unlimited. Mike Debate. Mike, how are you doing today?
Well, after that introduction, I'd have to say I'm unlimited.
There you go. Hey, don't worry, folks. I'm not going to subject you to that whole thing ever again. That was too much to handle.
Little bit too much. Once is quite enough, my friend. Yes. But no, all kidding aside, it's great to be here on a Friday morning, trucking along. And always lots to talk about, buddy. No question about it.
Well, you know, the thing is, I woke up today. I got on Twitter, and this has become kind of a normal thing. I think the poster child for this is Betty White, but the idea is, okay, you get on Twitter, you see a name trending, you know, sometimes when they're a little bit older, and you wonder, okay, what's the bad news? Well, today it was Phil Collins, and let me tell you, I had a mini, I guess, anxiety attack, because I saw that name and I had to take a couple deep breaths before I actually clicked to see what was trending. And thankfully, it was good, because apparently we've gotten to the point where the younger crowd, the younger group of kids are starting to discover who Phil Collins is, and it's a good thing. So, Mike, don't worry. It's not going to be a bad day today. It's going to be a good day. And I'm going to
scared.
Yeah, it did. It did.
I mean, you know, we all know in the high regard that you and I both hold Phil Collins and his music. I mean, you know, as a former drummer myself, I hold the man in very high regard. I know he's one of your favorites. The video, by the way, folks, the reason why he is trending, there's a video of two teenagers that are discovering Phil Collins for the first time, and they're reacting to it. And it absolutely is video gold. Check it out. I'm watching a little bit of it right now, as a matter of fact. And it's funny. It really, really is. But, I was glad to see he's okay. You know, I mean, because you see people trending. You know, we saw Marty Jannetty trending a couple of days ago, and we wondered what was going on. And now we all wish we didn't know what was going on there. But
I just knew he was going to do that.
Yeah, well,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. He don't need Jannetty.
What a despicable act that was.
Yes, that is right. That is right, Mr. Monsoon. It was a despicable act. And apparently we're finding out maybe a little bit more salacious details on that despicable act. These are unconfirmed reports, folks, but apparently Jannetty is, he's detailed exactly what might have happened, and then he's backpedaling on it. This continues to get more convoluted by the day, but bringing it back to something positive, Phil Collins is trending for a positive reason, folks.
Well, and again, like I said, I'm glad that it was a positive thing, because, you know, for folks out there that don't know and don't appreciate his music, I encourage you to go out and do some research, listen to some music. That's what they have YouTube for. That's what they have all these music apps for. You can go out, find it, and I encourage you, and I will try to, by the end of the show, that's what I'll do. I'll share the link on YouTube, because it's perhaps my most favorite, am I butchering the English language again? My most favorite live performance of In the Air Tonight. Obviously, there's so many more hits that he has and a lot of other songs that I love, but obviously that's the most commercially appealing song and most popular one, I would say, among, and the one that was in the video that you were speaking of that they were listening to. They obviously went crazy over the drum solo, as most people do. But this particular live performance is one of my favorite of the song. So by the end of the show, I will try to share it from the @FPC Radio Live account. Now, I do want to mention, talk about Marty Jannetty here in just a minute, because I'm intrigued. And again, there was things that we talked about yesterday that hopefully maybe there's some more details and maybe you can get into some of the specifics here. But, you know, our good friend Dylan R. Ross, who hosts Dylan R. Ross Save Sports Live every Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Full Press Radio on the Full Press app. Whew. There we go. Got that in there. They were talking yesterday. Well, first, actually, you know what? I want to plug something because they got a pretty big guest that's kind of, I guess, relevant to the two of us and, of course, anyone who's a fan of Tom Brady, both Patriots and Buccaneers fans. They're going to have a guest on today, Karen Loftus of WFLA Florida down here covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So definitely tune in. I believe it's at the 5:30 time slot. So obviously you should be listening to the entire show, but 5:30 time slot. I want to give a special shout out, though, to Dylan Sanders. I know I gave him some slack about his list the other day, and there was some potential growing tension with conspiracies being thrown about, but he said something at the very end of yesterday's episode, and I happened to catch it. We replay the show right before we go on there, so if you ever miss it, and you're only up in the morning, you can listen to it at 7:30 a.m. But he said something that really resonated with me and really spoke to me, because it's something I've been talking about for years. Well, first this was spurred by the fact that he said he wears mismatched socks all the time, as do I. I just don't care. I just grab whatever. As long as they're a relatively same length, I don't care. If they're two different colors, I don't care. If one's white and with blue and one's white with red, well, guess what? I'm being patriotic. I just don't care. But most importantly, what he said was he wishes he could have a new pair of socks for every day of the year. And I about lost it. And this was right before we got on the air. So I was a little bit flustered, because I've been talking about that for years. It's a dream of mine to have a brand new pair of socks every single day of the year, because to me, a new pair of socks is one of the greatest feelings in the world. Maybe I'm simple. I don't know. Who knows? But when I open up every year for Christmas my brand new pair of socks, it's the greatest gift I get, because I love them. I love brand new socks. I wish I could wear them every single day of the year, as does Dylan. So Dylan, my man, thank you. I just wanted to give you a special shout out for that, because again, that spoke to me. It's the simple things like that that, you know, make me happy.
Well, isn't it everybody's dream to have a pair of socks for every day of the year? I mean,
yeah, needless to say,
I think, you know, your goals, you've set different goals for yourself than, let's say, Thomas Edison, Magellan, people like that.
Well, look, I'm sorry, I'm not a world explorer. There's not much land left on this earth to explore, so I figured, what's the point? You know, if there was, maybe I would. You know, maybe if the island from Lost actually existed. I mean, there's no evidence that it doesn't exist. I'm just saying, you know, maybe I go and find that. I think about it every time I fly, to be honest with you. I, this is what I do. I get into, you go through security. You know, you go through the thing. I always stop, grab a coffee. It's the only time I ever drink Starbucks, because generally that's the place that's in there. And then I go and I sit and I survey and I look and I'm like, okay, who do we got here? Who do we got in this lobby? And I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, could that be a doctor? Is that the guy that's going to be a little bit hard? I'm looking at the characters I'm seeing. Is this the plane that if it happens to go down? Look, I'm not morbid. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying, you know, look, the way I deal with what could potentially be fears of flying is just accepting it, what happens. So, you know, hey, to me, planes are supposed to be in the air, right? You know, hey, they fly, they're good, they're safe, all that stuff. People fly all the time. But I'm just saying, if we happen to crash, I hope it's on the Lost Island. And you know what? I have a 3-month adventure of exploring an island, hunting boar, and dealing with smoke monsters. So we're getting a lot into my mind today. So I hope I haven't scared people away. Let's put it that way.
I still keep coming back to the glossing over of the Seinfeld line that I just dropped a couple of moments ago. With
whoa,
Magellan, you know.
Oh, I know. Okay.
I like the solo.
I'm
What did we do? Well, we discovered the Mississippi. Yeah, like they wouldn't have found that anyway.
I'm kidding, my friend. No. I'm glad you brought it up because that I'm disappointed in myself because there's very few instances. I'm going to blame this on my excitement over the new pair of socks every day thing because that's really started to cloud my thought process right now. So I keep coming back to that, and I'm thinking about the discomfort my feet are in right now wearing a pair of socks that I've had for a while. Although, again, when push comes to shove, I do enjoy the socks. I just wish they were new. Anyways, let's get back on topic. Whatever the hell that was.
Yes, tune in next week. Tune in next week, live, where Ian and I reenact the Seinfeld scene where Mr. Pitt buys a new pair of socks.
Well, look, I told you it's a very fine line between staying on topic and then, like I equated to yesterday, skipping off out of orbit and into the atmosphere into a never-ending, just nonstop rant of whatever. So let's be careful here. Let's not talk too much Seinfeld here. You know, we only have an hour and 10 minutes left. I don't want to...
That is true. This is true, yes.
I don't want to limit our potential. But yeah, no, folks, seriously, though, tonight, check out... you know, obviously you listen every day to Dylan and Ross Save Sports, but if you're a Bucks fan, if you're a Patriots fan that still appreciates Tom Brady and doesn't have these weird hang-ups about him, tune in because they're going to talk about his Zoom conference that he had with reporters yesterday for the first time in the Bucks facility. And of course, you know, the couple practices that they've had together, you know, light practices, obviously not in pads or anything like that. So it'll be interesting. I'm definitely going to tune in and listen because, well, that's what I do. I sit here and I absorb everything that comes from our site at fullpresscoverage.com. But folks, I know I say it every day and I'm going to keep saying it because we want to talk to you. 626-310-8882. If you're not in the Sportscaster chat and can't interact with us that way, please give us a call. Please send us a text. Tweet us. We want to hear from you. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to hear? Because guess what? It's Friday, and we kind of go all over the place here. We are going to talk about some hockey here because there's things that happened yesterday that brought me great joy. Great joy, let me tell you. So we're going to touch on that for sure. I do want to go back before we get too far off of this because I know you alluded to, and we talked about it yesterday, the weird story that's developing with one half of the duo, former duo known as the Rockers, Marty Jannetty. You said there was more details, or at least there was things that he spoke about that he backtracked on. Now, I didn't see this. I didn't see it yesterday. So if you can, please. Actually, you know what? I'll give the folks out there a quick update if you weren't listening yesterday. Marty Jannetty, former wrestler, former tag team partner with Shawn Michaels, apparently confessed in a very, you know, vague-ish way. I mean, it was vague, but not really. It was vague, but very specific at the same time. He kind of confessed to a murder. Now, again, the facts are still coming out, so we don't know all the details to everything like that, but it was a very weird Facebook tweet, Facebook message or post rather, where he managed to not only combine racism and homophobia, but like I said, he threw in the little tidbit about making a man disappear for the first time. So that's the update. That's what we talked about yesterday. Mike, what do you got for us? Give us something.
Well, this is according to a report that I saw from WrestleZone.com by a guy by the name of Bill Pritchard. And apparently, I don't know if Bill is just reporting this or just reiterating it or if he is actually the one that that's discovered this. So that's a little bit fuzzy, folks. I'm still doing some digging. But apparently, Jannetty is not really backtracking from what he said. Apparently, he stated that he felt that his own physical safety was in danger, folks, and it being a, you know, being a family show, I'm not going to reiterate, but he went on to say that when he believed that this guy that was with him was going to force him into a situation that he was not comfortable with, that he reared back and hit him with a brick. And apparently, there isn't much detail beyond that. It just basically states where he would respond to a comment saying, "I never said I killed him. I just said he disappeared." So I don't know if that's what is going on. Apparently, leading up to it, he says his intention was to beat him and to, you know, to prevent him from being able to harm him. But he's very fuzzy and very sketchy on the details. And then all the details leading up to that lead you to believe that he was responsible for this man's disappearance and allegedly responsible for his death. But apparently he's backing off from that a little bit by saying, oh, I never said I killed him. I just said he disappeared. So who knows at this point what's going on with Jannetty. I mean, growing up watching this guy in the wrestling ring alongside Shawn Michaels, you never believed that this guy was going to be, embroiled in something like this. But it goes back to what we said yesterday. You never really know people. You never really know public figures, celebrities, athletes, whatever. You may think you do, but you don't. I used the comparison of O.J. Simpson the other day where, you know, it's nobody believed that he would be capable of doing what he was accused and what most people believe he's responsible to do. But
do we have to bring up Aaron Hernandez?
No, it's true. I mean, you and I dedicated an entire episode on Locked On Patriots not too long ago directly to Aaron Hernandez and everything that led up to his downfall, his fall from grace, and obviously, leading him into a life that was just something he couldn't escape. But on the surface in New England, nobody saw that. He came across as being a very affable, very charismatic athlete, dynamic on the field. And really, I think he was on his way to being one of the more popular players on that team before this happened. So I'm not saying that Jannetty is in that upper echelon. He's never going to be revered alongside his tag team partner or other guys in that generation that ascended to higher levels in the WWF. But yeah, this is really, really interesting. Apparently this report from Pritchard was off of comments that Jannetty had made to Boston Wrestling. And now he's being told, I guess, at this point, not to give any more interviews, which apparently is a good idea. It probably should have had a lid put on him a long time ago. But, you know, this is what it is. So, if you're a wrestling fan, just keep an eye out on this one, folks, because this has the tendency to get a little more interesting by the minute. So we'll continue to bring it to you.
Look, I understand the English language is, you know, really one of the most complex and difficult languages to understand. I mean, there's so many just nonsense reasons for certain pronunciations and spellings and all that nonsense. But to me, when you say how else are you supposed to interpret disappear? You know what I mean? What do you send them to, like, right, Topeka, Kansas, and no one hears from them again? No, you know, it just it seems like a word you can't really misinterpret the meaning of, or at least the intent.
Well, there are different degrees of disappearance, buddy. I mean, you know, you never know. Was Tony Almeida and Chloe and Michelle Desler, were they over there?
Okay.
Did they have the needle of epinephrine? I mean, we're talking, you know, disappearance. I mean, Jack Bauer is the king of that. We know that from
That's true. That's true. I understand disappearance. You know, maybe witness protection. Maybe he scared him so much he went into hiding or something like that. Or maybe he went out and he's living in the bush up in Alaska. You know, you never know. You never know.
I'm thinking we're missing a great opportunity here to drop the line. The only reason why you're still conscious is because I don't want to carry you. I just feel like that somehow fits into this circumstance.
It could. It could definitely. And you know what? There's maybe part of me that was searching for that, but you kind of hit it right there. So I'll leave it at that. And I'll pull that so we can use that one as well, because I mean, we'll see if it works. But yeah, it's just a weird story altogether when it comes to Jannetty and whatnot. And you know, we're kind of, you know, making, I don't want to say making light, we're kind of, you know, obviously cracking jokes off of that, but you know, we hope this is, you know, everyone in this situation is well and healthy and all that stuff. And again, we don't want to, you know, we talk about Aaron Hernandez and all that stuff, but you know, even keeping it in the wrestling world, I mean, Chris Benoit, I mean, I going back to when everything happened with him, it's like, you can't tell me. I mean, maybe again, we've seen, if anyone's seen the Dark Side of the Ring series, chronicling his life and other documentaries talking about his life, there were signs of things from his closest friends and everything like that. But of course, in the public eye, you know, no one knew what was going on and no one expected what was happening. I mean, really, again, when it happened, the immediate reaction was to honor and salute him as if, he was a victim, and, you know, again, no one expected anything, and then it is, obviously we know the story. So, you know, yeah, we're just hoping for the best here. It's a strange, odd way to have started the day yesterday, or the day before. I can't remember exactly. I think it was on Wednesday because we didn't get a chance to talk about it until yesterday. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I tweeted out something yesterday. They got a little bit of reaction. It wasn't a big reaction, but I'm going to explain it in a little bit more detail. It has to do with, obviously, my growing need to put Patrick Mahomes into context with, you know, actual the rest of the history of the NFL. So I will explain that in a little bit more detail, and I'll try to put it into context because, again, it could have been misinterpreted a little bit. But hang tight. We'll be back just a couple minutes. Stay tuned. We are back. We're back. We're back. You know, I can never tell if I have to, like, shout over the music or not. I should really make note of it when I listen back, you know, because, like, sometimes I feel like I'm screaming for no reason, and it just might be really loud in my headset. But no, we're back. We just came out of our first break. It's 9:04 a.m. We got another hour, just under an hour to go. We got some stuff to talk about. So we hit quite a bit of topics, many topics. So disregard my horrible grammar in English today. It's a Friday. It's been a long week of playoff hockey, so you're gonna have to just bear with me here. But I was getting a little worked up yesterday, or the last couple of days. Not worked up. I don't want to. Make people think that this, like, affects my daily life. I really don't care. I couldn't care less, let's put it that way. And I just redeemed myself with actually using the phrase properly. Nothing drives me crazier than people saying I could care less. Sorry. I don't want to get on a rant here. Let's ditch that right away. Anyways, the poll or the question thrown out there by ESPN the other day, and we've seen so many variations of this question, sometimes not specifically this question, but similar type of things where it's just kind of absurd and silly. And it's kind of where the media is going right now. But it asked the question, had Patrick Mahomes retired today or tomorrow or before the next season started, would he be a Hall of Famer? And I did say yesterday that thankfully, the people that actually voted in the poll, 75% of them voted no. So it gives me a little bit of faith for humanity here, because had that been an overwhelming yes, I don't know what I would have done. I would have actually seriously considered just going off the grid and just never returning, disappearing, right, Mike? Wink, wink. Anyway, so this kind of spurred a couple conversations for me on Twitter, and nothing too crazy, but, you know, I made the comparison, or I made the statement, rather, in this context, in response to this question, that if Patrick Mahomes were to retire within the next couple of days, he would be remembered as the guy who had a season that was almost as good as Lamar Jackson's 2019 season. Now, there was some mixed reaction to it. Some people agreed. Some people were intrigued. Others did not agree and thought it was stupid. And I get it. You know, I say stupid things all the time, so I'm certainly not immune to that. But let's think about this here. And the point of the tweet, the point of the whole thing was to, again, combat this outrageously over-the-top coronation of Patrick Mahomes. Now, let's be clear. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a great young quarterback. I think there's a lot of great young quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's doing a lot of them a disservice to paint this narrative, paint this picture, that they are so far behind this guy that after just 31 games, he's already in the Hall of Fame if he were to retire. That's silly. But let's go over this for a minute. So Lamar Jackson last year, the unanimous MVP, 50 votes, 0 voted against him. The only other player to do that, Tom Brady. That's a pretty short list of a pretty great quarterback, I would say. obviously, Patrick Mahomes in 2018, phenomenal season, 50 touchdowns, wins an MVP. And again, people are so enamored and fixated on the 50 touchdowns that it's it's elevated that season to just astronomical proportions. When I, you know, and I said yesterday, I could come up easily with four or five quarterbacking seasons better than that. There may be more. I don't know. I haven't really done that deep of a dive into it. But like I said, right off the top of my head, Brady, 2007, Peyton Manning, 2004, Aaron Rodgers, 2011, and Dan Marino, 1984. All seasons better than 2018's Patrick Mahomes. So this idea that you know, he's already this all-time great, top five quarterback, Hall of Fame bound today if he were to retire is ridiculous. He has a long way to go. He, like I said, he's a great young quarterback. There's a lot of great young quarterbacks here. But let's take a quick look at, you know, the, I guess the raw statistics when it comes to Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson's, both their MVP seasons, both in their first full season of starting, both at age 22. So there's a lot of, you know, comparisons here. Yards. This is the biggest difference. Now, Patrick Mahomes obviously threw over 5,000 yards. And again, that's incredible. That's impressive. In this new NFL, we're going to have to take some time to figure out how to put that in proper context historically, because we know that, you know, just 15, 20 years ago, 4,000 yards was the 5,000 yard mark, where players throwing over 4,000 yards was not that routine. I mean, 3,500 to 4,000, you know, right under 4,000 was pretty much the average. I would have to look that up to say specifically, but it's obviously grown over the years with the changes to the offensive game of football and everything like that. So that's the big difference in passing yards. However, Lamar Jackson has over 1,000 yards more rushing than Patrick Mahomes did in 2018. So total yards, Patrick Mahomes gained just about 900 yards more in one full game more, because he played 16, Lamar Jackson only played 15. So yes, there is a difference in yardage. I'm not going to chalk that up as to a massively different level of output. I mean, again, one resulted in a 12-4 record, the other in a 13-2 record while they started. Anyways, completion percentage, 66.1 to 66. Lamar Jackson with the lead, so identical. Touchdowns, 36 passing for Lamar Jackson, 50 for Patrick Mahomes. But here's the thing, though. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 169 more times than Lamar Jackson to get those 14 additional passing touchdowns, whereas Lamar Jackson has 5 more rushing touchdowns, 7-2. Passer rating, nearly identical, 113.3 versus 113.8. Interceptions, Patrick Mahomes doubled Lamar Jackson, 12-6. He was also sacked more times, lost more yards from sacks than Lamar Jackson. And if you like QBR, if you don't like passer rating, Lamar Jackson, 81.1 to Patrick Mahomes, I believe 80, I got it right here, 80.4. So again, if we're talking about a player who's supposedly so far above, in a way, better than his peers and contemporary, that he would be inducted into the Hall of Fame or even considered for the Hall of Fame after just two seasons, then, look, I'm not trying to bring the kid down. I'm not trying to say that he's not a good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But we have to pump the brakes a little bit here, because this... this coronation is just, I mean, it's happened so quickly and with so much force, you know? Now, again, I know people, oh, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes went out and won a Super Bowl the next year. Okay, you know, let's see what Lamar Jackson does this year. If he goes out and wins a Super Bowl, you know, again, we're right at the same point. We're right at the same, okay, you know, how much better is Patrick Mahomes than Lamar Jackson? How much better is Patrick Mahomes than Deshaun Watson and so on and so forth? Like, you know, he's just getting put so far above everything else. It's just, to me, it's kind of ridiculous. People need to pump the brakes and just sit back and appreciate what you're watching, and that is potentially another generation of some great quarterback play across with all these young quarterbacks. I mean, let's not just sit here and you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's gotten to the point now where, I mean, people are saying, like, if he were to retire, that he'd be the most dominant quarterback ever, and that's just so outrageously asinine of a statement to make. And I don't know. Maybe, you know, anyone out there want to talk me off this like soapbox here? Anyone think that I'm just completely outrageous, Kyle? Kyle likes. Okay, and look, obviously, the Super Bowl is important, and Kyle says, and I'll let you go here in a minute, Mike, because I've literally been talking for like 10 straight minutes. But, you know, Kyle says Super Bowl is greater than MVP. Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, Patrick Mahomes did not win the Super Bowl in 2018. In fact, he was elevated over Tom Brady, the guy who beat him twice and also was coming off MVP and won the Super Bowl that year. So I'm not using that as a standard because it wasn't the same standard being used a year ago when it was, elevating Patrick Mahomes. So again, that would be hypocritical of me. I'm not saying Kyle is that. I'm just saying... But to me, I am really high on that 2011 Rodgers season. I'm responding to his messages in the chat. Because again, I feel like it's gotten lost in the mix. And I'm the first one to kind of pump the brakes on the Rodgers as the GOAT argument. But I will never sit there and say that his 2011 season wasn't one of the greatest of all time, not just in Packer history, but in NFL history. So, To so quickly disregard that and some of these other great seasons of other quarterbacks and just think that, hey, this kid here who, you know, does these flashy no-look passes and behind-the-back passes in practice, and he's completed one left-handed pass in his career, but it's being pushed to the level of like, oh, he does it once a game type of thing or multiple times a game. It's just relax. So, Mike, please help me here. I can't talk anymore because it's been literally like 10 straight minutes.
Well, you've said a mouthful without any question. And I yes. say that not tongue in cheek, folks. I do say that sincerely. You've made a lot of good points. And I think just the bottom line, folks, is pump the brakes a little bit when you look to either canonize or demonize some of these players. I know it's the nature of our business. And the media is the one responsible for fueling this. Look, fans are going to get excited about their teams. They're going to get excited about their players. Fans here automatically got behind Tom Brady in that first Super Bowl run. There's nothing wrong with that. Fans are entitled to do that. This guy brought a championship to a franchise that most fans believed they would never see. Growing up in the 80s and in the 90s, I always thought the Patriots would be a nice football team. Maybe they'd make a run. If they did win one by the stroke of luck, it probably wouldn't be somewhere in my immediate lifetime. Those are the thoughts that I had as a Patriots fan growing up. And then all of a sudden you see your team go on a magical run and you actually do it. It's exciting. So fans are going to get behind him. And I understand why Kansas City fans in particular absolutely love Patrick Mahomes. If I were a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I'd feel the same way about him. So I have no problem with that. It's when you see the narrative in the media, that push to all of a sudden out with the old, in with the new. Well, the problem is that the old, meaning that the old guard, and I'm not just talking about Tom Brady, folks. I know we love to, come back to Brady as a crutch here on this show, but I'm not just talking about Tom. I'm talking about guys like Drew Brees, like Aaron Rodgers, that are still got stuff left in the tank, and I expect good seasons out of both of those guys this year. Now, are they going to be as electric on the field as what you're seeing from Mahomes or even a guy like Lamar Jackson? Maybe not. But it doesn't mean that they're going to be any less effective or any less capable of leading their team to a championship. I think you made a great comparison side by side with Lamar Jackson. When you talk about the season that he had as opposed to the season that Mahomes had a year before, you look at their statistics. People say that Patriots fans in particular want to ignore the numbers. All we can do is count to six. We can only count six rings. Well, you just laid out a nice statistical argument that shows that Lamar Jackson is, had equally or even better year in some cases than Mahomes had the year before that. People are going to remember the victory. They're going to remember the Super Bowl championship. And that's why you're seeing this. So I don't have a problem with the comparison. I think you made a very good one. The problem that I have is the argument about Hall of Fame worthiness when a player is only 2, maybe 3 years into his actual career in terms of what he's done. There are so many things that can derail that. And I'm not just saying that he's not on pace. He absolutely is. He keeps up this pace, by all means. I mean, you're talking about greatest, maybe even the greatest to ever put on shoulder pads. But I think it's so premature to put that on there. And I think the worldwide leader did what they intended to do, which is get people talking, get people's blood boiling. They know this is a hot button issue for some teams, especially teams that have an axe to grind against the Kansas City Chiefs, whether it be up here in New England or the teams that play them in their division. I can tell you there are Raiders fans, Broncos fans, Chargers fans that hate everything when it comes to the red and yellow. And no, folks, I'm not talking Hulkamania. I'm talking the red and yellow of the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's going to get people talking.
And real quick, because I don't want to get too stray too far off here, but you know, I brought up the comparison yesterday, and I didn't bring it up. I stole it from someone on Twitter, and I apologize. I never actually found out who said it, and I wish I did. But they had said that, and this is very true. Like, despite Kurt Warner's start to his season, and he's a guy I keep going back to because, you know, again, another thing that I've heard a lot is, you know, Patrick Mahomes has done something no one else has, and that's just factually not true. And you know, I always bring back the Kurt Warner thing, and then I have to hear, oh, Kurt Warner was 27 and he had professional experience because he played in the arena football. I mean, seriously, folks, I got people telling me because he got paid, because anyone gets paid, if you get paid to play a sport, you're a professional technically. So he had professional experience because he was in the Arena Football League, which is a gimmicky version of actual football. And they were saying that gave him an advantage over Patrick Mahomes, who only went to a top college program and whatever. Anyways, I'm getting off track myself. The narrative surrounding Kurt Warner was, after his first three seasons, was not that he was a Hall of Famer. It was like, I don't think anyone was putting him in the Hall of Fame after that. He needed that resurgence later in his career, bringing Arizona to nearly a Super Bowl and having a great run there to lock in his Hall of Fame candidacy. So to put that in perspective, those three seasons, Kurt Warner accomplished more than Patrick Mahomes. So how we gotten to the point now where, you know, just two seasons in, you're Hall of Fame bound. And to Kyle's point, he makes a great point. If Mahomes retires now, he has a better case than Tony Romo or Eli Manning. And I would say probably yes, but I also don't think either of those two should be in the Hall of Fame. So what's that tell you? Well, that tells you that right now, if Patrick Mahomes retired, he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. Not close. He has a long way to go. So again, not trying to rain on people's parade, not trying to say Patrick Mahomes is a bad quarterback or anything like that, but I think he's one of several very good quarterbacks in this league, some of which are younger, some of are a little bit longer in the tooth, but nonetheless still within that same level of effectiveness and ability. And like this, again, this mythical idea of, you know, just him being this godly man, you know, guy among men, you know, it's silly, and I don't know. Maybe I think too much about it, but I got to play this role, and I got to keep going and doing what I do. So,
no, I agree with you. I think that in a lot of ways, I do understand where the vitriol comes from. I understand where the frustration comes from. Look, it's frustrating for everybody. Least of all, it's probably frustrating for Patrick. I mean, I'm sure he likes the attention. I'm not going to sit there and say that when people talk about you being a 2-3 year veteran and they're already talking about your Hall of Fame candidacy, that it's not going to feel good. Of course, he's going to be flattered by it. But at the same time, even a competitive athlete like Patrick is probably shaking his head and saying, you know what, pump the brakes, guys. I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to go out there. I believe that I can be the best, but you keep talking about it and chirping about it like that, it adds undue pressure. So, yeah, I think it's a ridiculous argument. I think that there are some that have the courage, like yourself, to pour a little ice onto the fire and cool things off.
Cold as ice, baby. Cold as ice.
That's right. Yep. You're willing to sacrifice, but in any case,
okay, yeah, all right. Yeah. Be careful, because
yeah, no. That's a conversation for another day. We're gonna get Kyle back on here, do more '80s trivia. But no, all kidding aside, folks.
I know some folks that would like that.
Just be careful. Just, you know, again, take these things with a grain of salt, like I do. We talked about the NFL's top 100 list last week and taking it with a grain of salt. Definitely take these things into perspective. Don't put a whole lot of stock into it right now. Just enjoy the ride and let's see what Mahomes has in the tank. I told you, I go back to Ric Flair's quote. You did it once. Now let's see you do it again. And that's really, I think, what I think everybody needs to see in terms of determining whether or not the Hall of Fame candidacy is really warranted at this point.
That's right.
Yes. Little Foreigner on a Friday morning. Foreigner Friday.
That's right. You know, this is actually very appropriate. because I'm about to read you probably the most kindest thing someone has ever said to me on Twitter. And I quote, it just happened, actually. Let's see. Hold on. Where are we here? I need to find the quote, because, again, this is this is great. Honestly, and this is a quote. No parsing, nothing. Honestly, and I say this with all the kindness I can muster, it is painful to listen to you because you really are an idiot who knows nothing about football or how to make a point. Good luck. You are beyond laughable at this point. By the way, side note, you're overusing the word point. You know, work on that. By the way, Deflate and Spygate were underpunished. Now you're asking, no, this is not in response to my Patrick Mahomes rant that I just had. Actually, I think it did stem from my tweet, though, if I'm... No. This is a guy who essentially carries the stick or carries the mantle of saying, oh, well, because of D4, Patrick Mahomes would have two Super Bowls. I mean, that ridiculous leap to judgment or ridiculous leap of logic, that a penalty that was called appropriately, if it didn't get called, the Chiefs were somehow winning the Super Bowl, or it gave the Patriots a win, despite it, you know, the Patriots still having scored. We've been through this.
Okay, so yeah. If that logic, then if Asante Samuel and Wes Welker could just exactly. squeeze the football a little bit better, Tom Brady would have been almost undefeated in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
where do we go from here, folks? Really, I mean, is that it? I mean, Deflategate and Spygate being under punished. I mean, it amazes me. It really does. Amaze me the dementia, the absolute mental illness that this team in Foxborough has caused to so many people throughout the country. It really, it's incoherent. It's ridiculous drivel. Really, and just yeah. All right. Yeah. Please don't read me any more from that pillar of the computer.
No. I'm gonna leave that up to the listeners if you want to check it out. I'm actually gonna see if I can retweet. Oh, so, you know, again, this all stemmed, again, actually, it was under the SportsCenter tweet. See, it all comes full circle here. So my, you know, these things are relevant. But the point being was, you know, like I said, D Ford, had he not lined up offsides, okay, we can play that game all day. And, you know, one of my responses was, well, you know, had Kansas City not gotten away with a very blatant pick play, you know, we're not talking like, you know, 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. We're talking about 5-6 yards of very clear and called 9 times out of 10 type of play, you know, then maybe Kansas City doesn't even tie the game, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't matter. We can do that with so many different plays, with so many different, what's it called, games and NFL history. It doesn't matter. We can, like I said, we can figure that out and find plays like that and nitpick all we want. But he didn't want to hear it. That's how it was. Patrick Mahomes should have won. He would have won had D Ford not lined upside, completely ignoring the fact that he had to go through a Super Bowl and play a game, and, you know, or the fact that Kansas City did have opportunities to win that game, and ignoring the fact that, well, you know, Kansas City only put up 7 points through the first 3 quarters because, well, guess what? Patrick Mahomes wasn't that good in the first half. I mean, again, he's not immune to having bad stretches of play. He's done that. He had a very bad stretch of play in the Super Bowl for, again, 90% of the game. But at the end of the day, he came through, and credit to him. So if you want to check it out, I will retweet it, the start of the thread here, and you guys can read it for yourselves under the @FPC Radio Live account. I'm doing it right now. Just did it. Click. If you're watching on camera, you'll see me just flash my phone. But yeah. So... I guess that was my rant for the day. It got me worked up, and then I saw the compliment that I got, and by compliment I mean the attempt to insult me. Although all this person did was use a bunch of hypotheticals and what ifs to try to prove a point, and I was just like, no, doesn't matter. Really, that's the thing, though. It's like, I mean, these people come back. Come back with, you know, all these like hypotheticals and what ifs, and I just laugh at it because I'm like, look, it doesn't matter. What you live in a fantasy world, I live in what actually happened. And you know, my response is generally like, okay, you got anything else other than hypotheticals? Because guess what?
It don't matter.
That's right. Hypotheticals don't matter. And what ifs don't matter because guess what? It's fictitious. Is make-believe. I mean, go write a book. Go write a novel and describe these events in that novel, and there you go. There's the reality for you. Because guess what? The reality is Tom Brady was better than Patrick Mahomes. in that AFC Championship game. The Patriots didn't win because of D Ford. They still had to score that drive, and Tom Brady still had to deliver in overtime, which he did, which he's done time and time and time again. And that is why he's the greatest, not because he had one good season when he was younger and, you know, kind of lived off that the rest of his career. So that's it. That's it for me. I'm done. Finished. Well,
I can't say it any better myself. I really and truly can't. You know, it's yeah, you're going, but I think if anything, if history's taught us anything with this team, is you're going to get people that are going to discount what Brady and the Patriots did in any stretch of the, they will look for any reason to downplay it. They'll look for any reason to discredit it, whether it's credible or not. And there will be marching morons out there that will go like right that. Along with it. And they'll just, you know, they'll eat it. It's again, I use this phrase all the time. It's drinking the sand. They don't want to know the difference. They want to drink the sand because it's what they want to hear. It's just, the Patriots cheated. Oh yeah, Tom Brady's a system quarterback. He's checked down. He's this. That's what they want to gravitate towards. Whether it means anything or not, it doesn't matter to them. That's all they're going to do. And it's sad because that's, you know, it leads to dumb arguments like this and idiotic, moronic comments like the one that you just read. It's part of what we do, and it's part of what happens here. So chalk it up, occupational hazard, buddy.
Hey, like I said, it's giving me material for the day, and I just talked for, 20 of the last 25 minutes probably, so that's not too bad. But with that said, though, that means we're up against another break. That's how great these things have been going. So we're going to take just a couple more minutes, and then we're going to come back, maybe talk a little hockey, talk a little football, and actually talk about relevant topics that are going on right now. So stay tuned. We'll be back to wrap up the day and wrap up the week. As soon as I know how to transfer to the commercial break, I will do that, folks. So as I sit here awkwardly trying to figure it out, stay tuned. We are back. We're back. Listen to some Cold as Ice because Mike brought it up, and no other better way to come back from break other than the WrestleMania theme song. So it's good stuff. Good stuff, Mike. I'm glad you brought it up. Or did I bring it up? I think I brought it up.
I think you did. You said Cold as Ice, and I made the comment coming back about willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
We turned it into, Foreigner Friday here on FBC Radio Live. So
that's the thing. You know, it's funny. We go back to, our 80s top 10 song, or love songs. And did any of us have Foreigner in it? And I feel like that was a drastic oversight. Maybe Kyle did. I feel like maybe Kyle had some Foreigner.
No, I had a Foreigner song in there. I think I had Waiting for a Girl Like You. I'm trying to remember if I had a Foreigner song in that top 10. I got to go back and look at the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of...
In my old age, I can't hold on to the thoughts like I used to, my friend. You know? It's tough. Back in my day.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about that because I didn't even think about that song when I was, doing my list or whatever. But look, we don't want to get too sidetracked. We've already kind of gone off, kind of
I
all
know
off
what
the
love is. I want to know what
okay
love is.
All right, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, well, both of those, I mean, easily both of those songs could have been on the list. Let's be real here. Foreigner, I mean, when you're talking about 80s love ballads, I mean, it's Foreigner's kind of the, you go to the top there with Foreigner. So maybe it was an oversight. Maybe we're gonna have to do it all over again. We'll wait like a month until everyone hopefully has forgotten, and maybe Kyle can redeem himself with some more trivia. Maybe I'll make it a little bit easier for him. So anyways, hockey. We have a great Friday lined up here because the NHL could not have planned this any better. You have all elimination games tonight, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited for what happened last night to watch Toronto crumble once again. That was fantastic. It brought a smile to my face. It brought joy to my heart. I wanted to go out and just, tell the world how happy I was that Toronto blew a 3-1 lead and lost in overtime last night, and is now facing elimination. They, everyone jokes about them not being able to get out of the traditional first round and say, hey, at least you have the play-in round to get out of. Well, they may not even get out of the play-in round, and that makes me happy, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's, absolutely. I mean, but for lack of a better term, I think we're just, I know my buddy over here is just happy to see, you know, action back on the ice. You know,
yes.
I've seen the return of the gluttonous Ian Glendon, and I love it because it's all hockey all the time. It brings out the ire in you when it comes to, you know, tweets like we saw about Patrick Mahomes yesterday. So, you know, it all comes full circle, bud. It really does. It's all part of you've heard of the circle of life with the Lion King. Well, with us, it's sort of like the circle of idiotic dementia. That's kind of what we bring to everybody here each and every morning. And we're proud to do it.
And look, if people out there think I dislike Patrick Mahomes, no. You know who I dislike? I dislike Sergei Bobrovsky. And I've been saying for the last couple of years that he's overrated goalie now with the Panthers. And you know, I think people are finally coming around to it. Same thought process as I have with him. So that's someone I dislike. I don't dislike Patrick Mahomes. I dislike Sergei Bobrovsky because, again, I don't think he's a great goalie. So anyways, and this is, again, I'm happy despite the fact that the Bruins haven't won bleep since the return to play, and they have one game left to get their bleep again together before actual playoff hockey starts. So, you know, there's definitely some angst and anxiety that I have for the Bruins season, but the fact that hockey is back, hey, see, Kyle, I just looked, I was planning on mentioning the Bruins. Don't sell me short. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the Bruins have not lost. They have actually kind of really summed up my playoff pool success, which has been absolutely nothing. In fact, I don't have a goalie in the playoff pool anymore. I don't have several players in the playoff pool anymore, and, you know, potentially a few more to follow today. So, Mike, I don't know what I'm going to do if the Bruins get knocked out early. We are obviously Bruins fans here, both you and I. My co-host, Chris Blackie of the Big Bad Bruins podcast, he actually picked Toronto to win in three games, which is kind of silly. So I just want to point that out because I've been reminding everyone. But he is also a Bruins fan, and it's we let off a little bit of steam yesterday in trying to figure out what was going on with this team. And the funny thing is, across the conference, across Canada, their 2019 Stanley Cup counterpart are going through pretty much the same thing. The two top seeds in the East and the West, when the season paused, are now incapable of maintaining that seeding because they're both 0-2 so far in these play-in rounds. So, I don't know. Like I said, if you're a hockey fan, if you're not and you want to get into hockey, I encourage folks out there to tune into this because it's really been fantastic. I yes, no. Kyle says the Bruins should better avoid the Hurricanes. Well, guess what? If the Hurricanes do run into the Bruins, let me just say it's going to be like the Hurricane versus the Big Show, if you remember, Mike. You remember that little segment, one of my favorite fun memories of WWF from yesteryear. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Hurricane?
Oh, I remember it very, very well. Yep. Stand back. There's a Hurricane coming through. Yeah. Hurricane. You know, give credit to Shane Helms. I mean, you know, he owned it. He really, really did. It was a real interesting gimmick. And yeah, I know he still does. Yeah, he still owns it. It's still, you know, that's still his gimmick. And I think it will be probably for his entire life. But
do you remember the Titantron?
Like 65 doing that. Yes, I do remember the Titantron. Oh, man.
The very bad green screen with him flying through the air.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. But yeah, the segment I'm talking about is I remember he got in the ring with the Big Show. And obviously the Big Show is, he's big. and he was trying to hit him. And obviously the Big Show wasn't budging. And he just kind of pushed Hurricane Helms to the side, but that's how I see the big bad Bruins going up against the Hurricanes. So Kyle, I know you're trying to hype the Hurricanes up. I like the Hurricanes. I'm not going to sell them short, but I do feel like the Bruins, I'm still pretty confident in the Bruins to get their stuff together, even though I sound like I'm down and out on them. I do feel that they're still a good enough team to do it. The only thing I worry about is potentially eventually meeting the Montreal Canadiens, just because of, like I mentioned yesterday, the horrible history that we've had in the past. But you know, we'll save that. We'll discuss that a little bit more probably next week once a lot of these series are completed and we start to learn the matchups for the next round. But the NFL, the opt-out deadline passed yesterday. And I was actually kind of surprised that we didn't get too many more. We saw a few more come out. Nothing too crazy, but I thought we might have seen a couple more high-profile players. But to me, it seems like Dante Hightower is the most high-profile player to do so. And that is
And the Patriots definitely have the longest list of opt-outs at 8 by far. They have the most in the league, and that's going to spark again conspiracy theories. And look, I'm not going to turn this into a Patriots defense session. I'm not going to be the defense attorney in charge of defending Bill Belichick here. But you see some of the other teams that have had opt-outs. Tre'Davious White had fooled around with the idea of, toyed around with the idea of not being a part of the NFL this year. He put on a very interesting tweet to Bills Mafia yesterday. I don't know if anybody had seen that. He basically stated that there are familial reasons. There were deeply personal reasons why these guys are considering that, and really called a lot of fans to task about people calling him out and saying that he was selfish for wanting to opt out.
Rightfully so.
There is nothing selfish. Yeah, there is nothing selfish about the players' decisions to opt out. And I'm glad I saw someone follow up with a tweet, and I actually had the privilege of speaking with Miguel Benzon last night for his appearance on my podcast today for Locked On Patriots, and we talked a little bit about what it means for players to opt out. This is not essentially, they're not being paid to sit at home, folks. This is essentially a loan that they're going to be that's going to be paid back in their salary next year when they come back to the league. Now, for some players, this is a hit that they can take and not really worry about it. They're going to be just fine. But there are some players that have opted out that don't have that haven't amassed the wealth of a guy like a Dante Hightower or a Patrick Chung for the Patriots. These are Marquise Goodwin for the Eagles. I mean, there are guys right now that are trying to make the best decision for themselves, their family, and keep themselves healthy. So now the players are in. We know who's in, we know who's not going to be playing, but we also know that the players right now that are there are going to be there unless something, happens throughout the course of the season. So, don't get down on these players for making these decisions. I commend them for it because to me, it's a heroic type of decision to make where you can forsake what you do and knowing that it may affect you long term. Some of these players don't have the brand capital to say like, oh, well, I can sit out a season and I can come back and I know teams are going to be lined up. I know the contracts are tolling to next year, but it still doesn't prevent you from being cut. And there are dangers to that. If players come in and step in and perform well in your absence, you're taking a chance. You're really taking a chance. So I think fans need to remember that this is not a selfish decision. Players are taking this very serious, and ultimately Tre'Davious made the decision to play, but they came pretty close from what I'm hearing, those close to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and look, I mean, again, that's completely their prerogative. They make that choice, and they shouldn't get criticized for it. So I'm glad he is calling people out because of it. And look, this isn't just exclusive. I'd love to sit here and say, oh, it's just awful Buffalo Bills fans. You know, too many tables they've been put through.
This is not just unique to Buffalo, folks. There's fans all over the NFL spectrum that are doing this. I saw Patriots fans take to task guys like Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung and saying, how could they do this? Oh, they're just doing it because Tom's not there and they want to stick it to Bill. We talked about it here. I mean, I've talked about it on my podcast as well. Asinine thought process, but people are going to believe it because it's conspiratorial and they think that they're going to, uncover the great mystery. And really there's nothing more to it, folks, than just making a decision that's best for you and your family.
Yeah, no. And that's exactly what it is. And if you can't respect that, then well, you're going to have to reevaluate yourself a little bit there, folks. And if you think I'm passing judgment, well, yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm passing judgment. but I do want to take this time once again to remind everyone that coming up today on I'm starting to lose my voice here. It's been a long week, my friend. Long week. But anyways, coming up later on Dylan and Ross Save Sports at 5 p.m. Or 5:30, actually. The show starts at 5 p.m., but at 5:30, Brady fans, Tampa Bay fans, Patriots fans that still appreciate Tom Brady, join in Karen Loftus of WFLA Florida, or Tampa Bay, rather, will be joining them to talk, obviously, all things Bucks and Brady and all that. So definitely tune in. That's going to be a lot of fun. I know I'll be listening because, well, hey, that's what I do. I listen. And, you know, it should be fun. It should be fun. They put on a great show, obviously. It kind of works well. It's very, you know, good balance between the two of us, because they do a lot of basketball coverage, which admittedly is not my strength. I enjoy it. I just don't have the ability to carry on a consistent conversation about some of the X's and O's, and they do a great job of that. And so it kind of makes what we do very complimentary. But certainly tune in for that. And of course, right after us, coming up at 10 a.m. is going to be Snowman in the Morning, followed by College Credit Hour at noon. So we're getting down to the wire here, my friend. And, you know, there's a couple things I want to, you know, to throw out there. I mentioned yesterday that we're adding some different sections to the app. If you have it, you may have seen it already. If you don't have the app, Mike, what can you do?
You can download it on all major areas where you get your entertainment, folks, whether it be Apple, whether it be Google Play, wherever you can download an app on the App Store or the Google Play Store, download it. It puts all of your content right in a nice, easy to download and a nice, pretty package that we put out there. So
it is a very pretty package.
So definitely download. Weekends are a great time to catch up on your entertainment, folks. Do it today. You will not be sorry.
And if you're a wrestling fan, which I do think we have some wrestling fans tuning in here, you'll know that we have a Wrestling Central page that's still under construction. There's the important parts to it already out there, and there's stuff that's going to be added. But anything that you need to get your wrestling fix is going to be there. We have several fantastic podcasts and shows attached to the network. Obviously, we know Talkamania, we know Crossbody at Work, we know Boot to the Face, Chaos Theory, Ringside Rant, all that stuff right there available in the app. And of course, if you've been tuning into our live shows on Sportscaster, you'll know that Talkamania has been putting on this great show, Trivamania, where it's basically just wrestling trivia, competing, trying to get to the level of our good friend Chris Rucker, who has just completely cleaned the floor with all the competition, and will be looking to do so on Trivamania 5, which is going to be August the 28th at 8:30. If you go to our page on Sportscaster, sportscaster.com/FPC, you'll see the video is already up. You can click on it. You can bookmark it and get ready for when it airs. But even before that, we have a very special edition of Trivamania. It's called the Trivamania in the Bank, or Trivamania Money in the Bank Special. Now, how it works, if you're familiar with the Money in the Bank pay-per-view concept, the winner of the briefcase gets to choose whatever event that they want to go for the title. Well, in this case, if you win the Money in the Bank, you get the opportunity to choose when you're going to get to face off and try to win that title from, I assume, Chris Rucker, because he's given me no doubt as to whether or not he's going to continue to win. So check it out, folks. It's a lot of fun. If you love wrestling, if you love just hanging out, interacting with a bunch of great wrestling fans, I highly encourage it. Sportscaster.com/FBC. You'll see it right there in our videos. You'll see it scheduled. You'll know when it is. Write it down. Put it in your daily planner. Maybe you have a Willard that you can put it in. And, you know, hopefully it'll last until then. So check it out. And, of course, download the app. Check out the Wrestling Central section. And you'll be able to watch it there as well through our friends at Sportscaster. So, Mike, are you excited for that? We got to get you in the chat room for that one, because that's always a lot of fun. And you have a lot of useless wrestling knowledge.
Of course. In terms of like the golden age, the Federation years, and the Attitude Era,
it's a good mix.
I'm down. Mick, put me down. I'm down.
You know, down, no, down. I got that Seinfeld reference.
I know you did. Yeah, absolutely. That's good. See, the coffee's kicking in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, you're 5 hour energy.
Things up. Yep, five-hour energy. Yeah, careful with a five-hour energy button. You know, that could put you over the rails. But no, I would definitely.
I live off these things.
I mean, you know, anytime you have the opportunity to talk useless wrestling knowledge, you know, I'm in. That's kind of how we fill most of our mornings here at times. So I think it only you know serves to enhance our upstanding image in the community. So I'm down for it.
I think it's a great idea. And you know what? I might have to, Bill brought up a great point in the chat room. He said, you should do a 80s matchup, FPC Live versus Dylan and Ross. Now, I got to inquire as to their interest in that. But that could be pretty interesting with Kyle officiating, you know? So he could...
Kyle's just looking to get out of being on the hot seat. But yeah, you know what? You know what? The team... Yeah, these two, if we teamed this effort, you know, and we had the morning show versus the afternoon show, maybe there could be something good here, something brewing. So, you know... Brewin, not Bruin. Calm down, bud.
Oh man. Well, is there? You know, it's Friday. You know, we kind of keep things pretty loose here. We don't have, you know, that much time to start any sort of new topic. We started the show, if you recall, so long ago, an hour and 20 minutes or so ago, talking about Phil Collins, and. Is there any other random thing that you want to talk about today, Mike? Because I feel like, you know, Friday is meant for just whatever. You know, there's certain alliterations that I can use that have already been stolen by other radio stations, so I don't want to steal that. But, you know, you're free to talk about whatever you want, Mike. I want you to bring us to a close for the week. Give us a solid subject to talk about, and let's rant for the next couple minutes. I'm putting you on the spot, my friend.
All right, solid subject. Did you want a fun fact, or do you want a solid subject?
No,
banter a little bit.
You know, a fun fact could lead to banter. That's all I'm saying. Fun fact could lead to banter.
All right, so we started with Phil Collins. We'll finish with Phil Collins. Phil, when he decided to hang up his drumsticks for a little while and really concentrate on being the front man of Genesis and then go on to his solo career, obviously Genesis needed a drummer at that point, and then Phil Collins needed a personal drummer to go along with. The guy that he chose was a guy named Chester Thompson, who is a drummer that I really admire a lot and one of the best in the business, one of the better session drummers at the time. Drummed for Phil Collins for years. He's now drumming for Sir Paul McCartney. So you want to talk about a guy that's played with some of the greats. He's done it. Phil was playing some drums for a little while. I know he's doing touring now in Europe again. I don't actually know who's drumming for him right now. I know it's not Chester because he's over with Paul McCartney, but he's been with him for a while. And Phil's longtime guitar player who's really, really good. I've had a chance to hear a lot of his work. Daryl Sturmer. Mm-hmm. He's still with him, I believe. Still one of the original band members for the Phil Collins band. So there's my little tidbit on Phil Collins.
I like it.
And you're welcome to come back with any type of questions or 80s music that you want to regale our listening public with before we sign off.
Well, you know, again, we don't want to skip off into the atmosphere here, and I keep using that because I've been watching a lot of space documentaries because I enjoy stuff like that, and you know, I go through kicks. But I'm a Phil Collins fan. I'll listen to Genesis, Phil Collins, doesn't matter. Sign me up for it. I love what, and again, I mentioned, and I something I forgot to do, but I'll still do it when we get off the air, is share that live version of In the Air Tonight. And you may know if you are like me and, you know, browse a lot of these videos on YouTube, I'll say that it the video, and I wish I remember what year. It was somewhat recently. It was a more recent video. This wasn't like back when he still had hair. You know, this was, you know, pretty much, I think, right before he took a hiatus, I want to say. But the video, it has a blue hue to it because I think the lighting and everything like that. But it was a live version of it. I mean, it was just great. I mean, obviously the build up to the drum solo was fantastic. And, you know, every time watching him, obviously my coordination to drum is just not there. I've tried to, mess around with it. I just don't have that ability. But to watch him do that and then seamlessly sing, you know, go through the lyrics and do everything that he does, it's incredible. So good news. He's trending today. Not for a bad reason, for a good reason. So we're happy about that. And it's a good way to end the week and say, hey, you know what? We'll be back on Monday. Hopefully, maybe we'll get Kyle on here because I think he's chomping at the bit. I think he's chomping on the bit to come on here. Maybe we'll throw some 80s questions at him. But most importantly, we want to talk to him about some hockey and stuff like that. So have a great weekend, folks. Enjoy sports. They're back. There's basketball. There's baseball still, much to my surprise. And, of course, you have 5 elimination games today in hockey. And then hopefully the start of the actual 7-game round one, traditional round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs start next week. So I'm excited. I know Mike's excited. Everyone's excited. You should be. If you're not a hockey fan, check it out. You'll become one. So give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. Obviously, I am at IGLEN31. Mike is at MDABATEFPC. And he informed me today, folks, that he is going to have a new Twitter handle as well, something that he's going to use on the side. It's going to be at
Mr. Unlimited.
That's right. Follow him. Check it out. And we're going to see you next week. So have a great day, folks. Ha ha ha.